Lord, help us to commence with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. 393.
Thank you. read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, reading chapters 3 and 4. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, reading chapters 3 and 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who is of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record, that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Dear Lord, we approach thee this night. All our need is before thee, and we seek thy presence, thy grace, and thy strength as we approach thy mercy seat. And pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to us. We deserve not the least of thy mercies, but oh, we would come in faith, trusting in Thee, resting in Thee, rolling our burdens upon Thee. And oh, we see, gracious God, that Thou, according to Thy promise, wilt supply all our need according to Thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, Thou hast divine purposes, we know. Thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? And we pray for the work of Thy Spirit in this congregation and church. Those divine movements, that irresistible grace. And gracious God, we beseech Thee to manifest the fruits of Thy Spirit in the midst. We have read in Thy holy word of the pathway in life of Thy dear church as buried with Thee in baptism and raised with Thee to newness of life. And oh, gracious God, how we need grace to walk uprightly according to Thy word in the land of the living. Our hearts, Lord, Thou seest, we have a fallen nature, alien and contrary to Thy holy word and its precepts. But oh, give us grace, we may walk uprightly before Thee in the land of the living, and follow those blessed precepts in Thy holy word. The Lord, we need grace to walk in that way that Thou hast all outlined for Thy dear church. And we need patience, enduring grace, to be able to run our race, looking unto Thee, its author and its finisher. Oh, grant us heavenly wisdom, how we need it. Divine teaching, understanding, that we may ever run that race with our eyes up to Thee, seeking daily and hourly Thy presence and Thy help. Increase our faith. Oh, how we need it. Lord, our hearts are so often full of unbelief. We take our eyes off Thee, and said to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. His goodness He will make to pass before us in the way. And dear Lord, we pray for more faith. Faith in the sweet exercise of it. Faith to be enabled to roll every burden upon Thee. Faith to be still and know that Thou art God. Faith to put our hand into the hand of God and go out into that unknown future, trusting in Thee all the way. We thank Thee for mercies past, for Thy goodness undeserved. Lord, our hearts so often full of unbelief, and yet Thou abidest faithful. Thou changest not. We mourn over our unbelief, that, O gracious God, we see that Thou wouldst enable us to trust Thee as Thou hast commanded us. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And now, Lord, we come the mighty work of the gospel. Immortal souls, never-ending eternity, heaven and hell, where shall I spend eternity? And, oh, there is a preparation. If ever we're to spend it with Thee, we must be washed in Thy precious blood and clothed in Thy spotless righteousness. Dear Lord, we pray, Thou wouldst grant a hunger and thirst in this congregation, after thy righteousness. Thou hast grant grace to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We pray thou hast work. Fulfill thy promise, I will work. And who shall let it? Bless the labours of thy sent servants as they preach the word in this pulpit. O come by thy Spirit and use the foolishness of preaching to thine own honour and glory. For thou hast decreed that through the foolishness of preaching men shall be saved. Bless in the wisdom of God, man by wisdom knew not God, so it pleased him, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Lord, we pray thou wouldst use the foolishness of preaching this night, in the congregation and in the church. Remember us as we gather around the table. Oh, that others might be drawn by thy Spirit to walk in thy commandments. Thou hast said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And dear Lord, we have read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. And dear Lord, we pray that in the hearts there may be created by thy Spirit that desire to serve thee and to follow thee in the path of thy commandment, buried, we have read this day with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. And dear Lord, their paths thou hast ordained, they speak of the work of thy Spirit. They speak of a separation from this world, of following thyself in thy footsteps, which thou didst say, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Lord, come by thy Spirit the congregation, and grant those heavenly commandments in the heart, and that there may be a spirit of obedience given and submission to thy holy mind and will. Lord, thou seest the low estate of the churches, the great falling away that has taken place. How few come to thy solemn feast. But Lord, we see here around us another generation rising up. Gracious God, leave them not to mourn over disobedience. How we have known many and never ventured under thy sacred influence, but disobeyed and defied thee, and walked all their days in grief and sorrow. Lord, we pray that thou wast moved by thy Spirit, not only here, but in the churches throughout the land, that there may be given that brokenness and contrition of heart, that love to thyself, and that grace to come to this table, Lord, which speaks to us of thy love for us and thy death. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, says thy holy word, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And Lord, thou knowest, it is in thy death, resurrection, and intercession, now in glory, that our hope of heaven rests. All that we have, all that thou hast done, Lord, thou art our only hope. And said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Gracious God, look down upon thy saints, servants, as they stand here in this pulpit from Sunday to Sunday. Lord, bless their labour. Be with all thy servants as they stand up in thy holy name this night. Dear Lord, we pray for fruit. We pray for the movements of the Spirit. We pray, Lord, for power to descend upon the preaching of the word. Lord, there is a great withholding. We feel it in this day. And oh, we long for liberty to preach the word out of the fullness of our hearts, and that thy truth may find a sweet resting place in the souls of thy people, that they may feed upon thy word as their bread and water of life, that they may be strengthened with all might in the inner man, that they may be prepared and made ready to stand before thy face. The arrows of divine conviction may go into the soul. Sinners walking in darkness may be brought into the light of the gospel. That those without hope may be given a good hope. And that, O Lord, there may be prosperity in these dark and evil days around us. Lord, thy holy day we see everywhere utterly desecrated. Thy holy word mocked and despised. Thy holy name blasphemed. Gracious God, we know these times will come when men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, when there will be a great falling away. Lord, we have lived to witness it in the churches, but we pray once again that thou wouldst turn to us again, that thou wouldst appear. We can only plead like thy servant Daniel did, not for our sakes, but for thy great name's sake. He confessed his own sins and the sins of his people and pleaded with thee. Lord, thou didst hear his prayer. Though 70 years captivity were ended. Dear Lord, we pray in these dark days, when the sound of the grinding is low, and few come to thy solemn feast. We live in the midst of this great falling away, that thou would yet appear by thy Spirit, and work that mighty work which shall never be shaken. Sinners may be brought to be founded upon that rock, Christ Jesus, and be established in their most holy faith, and given grace to run their race with patience, looking unto Jesus, its author and its finisher. Lord, look down upon the hearts of those who gather, and notice the exercises, the concerns, the hardness of heart, the death that is felt within. Lord, the carnality, how conscious we are of it. But oh, as we come into thy house, gracious God, we seek a broken and a contrite heart, that thou wouldst take away the heart of stone, give a heart of flesh, that thou wouldst appear and soften hard hearts. Grant, gracious God, that there may be a drawing near to thee, a mourning over self, and after thee. O, leave us not, Lord, to an empty profession of thy name, but O, may we draw near to thee, the living and eternal God, and know sweet communion and union with thyself, and have a blessed hope, and be conscious of those eternal and everlasting arms underneath. Or may we be unable to plead those exceeding great and precious promises which thou hast spoken to us. Lord, to be able to come to thee and say, Lord, thou sayest, Thou knowest the promises thou hast given to each one. O gracious God, may we ever remember them, ever be enabled to plead them, to find our rest in thyself. On those in sickness and affliction, those unable to be here this night, Lord, remember them. Thy ways are past finding out. Gracious God, we pray thou would sanctify afflictions, that there may be profit in it. Grace may be given to be as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. Be still and know that thou art God. Lord, we know afflictions make us see. What else would escape our sight? Afflictions halt us in our way, and they bring us nearer to thyself. Lord, we would not choose the way thou knowest, and yet thou art too wise, too err, too good to be unkind. Lord, we pray thou grant thy healing mercies, a divine touch. Look down, we pray thee, upon thy dear aged people as they come near the end of the journey. Remember them, those in our homes, those suffering from weakness of mind and body. We watch it. Those who wait operations, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, that thou wouldst help them, bring them safely through. Gracious God, may they prove that thou art that faithful, unchangeable friend. Thou abidest faithful. Lord, we have proved it in life's journey again and again, and have to say, better to me thou art than all my doubts and fears. Lord, we pray for the prodigals. Ever remember them, those who have turned from the sanctuary of God and gone out into a godless world. O gracious God, how subtle is the tempter, how devious are his ways, the snares that are set in the paths of thy dear children, that which is his work, all to draw them away from thyself, lead them into darkness and sorrow and trouble. Gracious God, we pray, thou wouldst grant thy keeping mercies, thy sparing mercies, and that there may yet be bringing into conformity to thy holy mind and will, a separation from this world that lieth in wickedness, walking in obedience to thy heavenly commands. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Oh, how we know that under such commandments there is mercy. Thou art to thy dear church wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. They are protected and kept. We read of the prodigal turned again to his father's house, never to depart again. And dear Lord, we pray there may be returning prodigals in the sanctuary of God, not only here but elsewhere. Send forth other labourers into the vineyard, we beseech thee. Lord, the harvest is great, the labourers are few. Oh, we pray that there may be those whom thou hast ordained as thou didst Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. Lord, may that day come when thou wilt show thy servants forth to Israel. Then there may be blessing in Zion. That may be raised up a following generation to serve thee, the eternal God. Look down, we pray thee, Lord, upon this land. Oh, the desecration of thy day. How we mourn over it all about us. The solemn turning from thy word. And thy truth. The witness we have seen in the land of the Antichrist. Coming here at the invitation of our government. We remember the great days of the Reformation. When the error of his system was exposed. And the truth was gloriously proclaimed. The just shall live by faith. Lord, we pray, let us have mercy on our godless land. Preserve to us yet our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution, established in law in this land. Oh, keep us from the inroads of the Antichrist, the man of sin, and have mercy upon us, and raise up a generation to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Pray for the Queen and the Royal Household, as thou hast commanded us. We pray for the Prime Minister and his Cabinet. We pray for the Commons and the Lords. Lord, we pray that as be with those who bear a witness in high places, Lord, look down and grant that there may yet be a turning of these great tides of darkness. Thy mercy may be known and felt. Preserve to us our independence as a nation. Lord, we watch the nations moving together in great darkness and evil. And Lord, we see the nations moving towards world government. And oh, how we see that we are in the times prophesied in thy holy word. When there will come this great falling away, the love of many will wax cold. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Many will go to and fro throughout the earth. Knowledge will increase. Lord, we live in the midst of it all. And these signs of the times tell us the day is fast hastening on when thou wilt come again. Oh, we see that we may be made ready and prepared to stand before thy face. Look upon us then this night. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Fill our earthen vessel. And grant the anointing of thy spirit as we seek these mercies for the pardon and forgiveness of every sin. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 204. Self-righteous souls on works rely and boast their moral dignity. But if I lisp a song of praise, each note shall echo, grace, free grace. Hymn number 204.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, reading from chapter 3, reading verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, reading verses 1, 2, and 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We desire first to dwell on the opening words of these texts, and this great word, if. If ye then be risen with Christ. What? And if it is, it separates between the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. And we need to search our hearts to find which side of this if we stand. What hope have we got? What is the foundation of our hope? What does it mean to be risen with Christ? We see in the previous chapter which we read this morning, the apostle speaking in the 12th verse of the second chapter, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And the verse goes on, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. This is the separation from this world. This is the work of God's Spirit in calling a sinner out of nature's darkness. There is a work in the hearts of his dear people which is known and felt. It is a mighty work. They are brought out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light. This word that is spoken of here, if ye then be risen with Christ, the very ordinance of baptism, which the Lord ordained, speaks of that burial, that death, that separation from this world, that leaving of the things of this world behind, and rising to newness of life, to follow Christ in his pathway. It will be a pathway of tribulation, but it will be a pathway of separation from this world. It will be a pathway of dependence upon him. It will be a pathway in which we are as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. Be a pathway in which he orders our steps, deals with us. But equally it will be a pathway which he's with us, which he strengthens us in the way and enables us to endure, to fight that good fight of faith. There is no more blessed pathway in this world to be walked out than to be separated from this world, the death of it, the carnality of it, and to be risen with Christ. We shall ever carry our fallen nature with us. But there will be within us those two natures, the old man and the new man. And oh, the Lord will be with us. We shall know his presence. If, where do you stand tonight? Has the Lord begun with you? You may be young, but has he touched your heart? Has he softened it? Has he brought you to himself? Are you separated from this world? Oh, the mercy, if there is no greater blessing in this world than to be brought out of the death of unregeneracy and the darkness of a fallen, ruined nature, and to be brought to know Christ, to hear his voice, to know his power, to feed under the ministry of his servants, to be blessed, the Lord to speak to us, to give us those exceeding great and precious promises, the Lord to lead us, the Lord to guide us, the Lord to provide for us. But I come to one thing, the Lord to call us into the obedience of his commandments. Oh, if you then be risen with Christ. Why, when the Lord brings his dear children into sweet union and communion with himself, and they know his love in their hearts. And I do ask you, who of you here tonight has had the experience of those men on the road to Emmaus? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? Oh, those who are dead in trespasses and sin know nothing of his voice, nothing of his love, nothing of his presence. But when the Lord works by his Spirit and brings a child of his out of the grave of nature's darkness and brings them to hear his voice, to commune with him, to spend sweet hours and time on their knees, and pour out her heart before him, we cannot measure the mercy that lies there. If he then be risen with Christ, if, as the apostle says here, you are quickened, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Yes, we're brought to be alive to God and dead to this world. Our thoughts, our hearts, our affections are turned toward himself by a divine omnipotent power which plants in our hearts that seed of divine grace. And now we're not concerned with the things of this world. They take second place. Now the Lord speaks in our hearts, and our prayer is, show me now thy way. The beautiful psalm, the 107th psalm, it says this, he led them forth by the right way. How solemn not to be led by him, and to go and wander into wrong paths, paths of disobedience, paths that inevitably must bring sorrow and grief upon our heads, paths of darkness, paths of disobedience. But when that work of grace is begun in the heart, it will not be to choose our way. It will be, in the language of the hymn writer, choose thou the way. Oh, how those who are risen with Christ are deeply conscious what it is to walk in solemn paths of disobedience, a rebellion and defiance. But when that work of grace is begun, his dear children, quickened by his Spirit, long to follow him in paths of obedience. They do not subtly choose their way and ask him to bless it, but they seek his mind and will. If ye then be risen with Christ, they are separated. They can have no contact with the world coming out from among them. That's the world. Be separate. Oh, the commandment. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I say again tonight, where do you stand? Which side of this if do you stand on? Are you walking in darkness? Or are you risen with him? But you see, the work of grace is begun in the heart. And there is that risen with Christ in the soul. Yet, there are still paths of disobedience that can be walked out. We see it in God's servants. Jonah walked in gross defiance. He was a servant of God. Gross rebellion. And so have many others in God's word. Solemn cases. Jacob walked in deep darkness of deceit. Sorrow attended his footsteps as a consequence of his sin for years and years. 20 years that he lost Joseph. He was 17 when he was sold as a slave. Jacob did not see him until he was 37. 14 years he labored for Rachel. These were long years of divine dealing. As you see, if ye then be risen with Christ, follows this commandment. And what a word it is, seek those things which are above. Oh, to be enabled in sincerity and in truth to seek the Lord to lead us in that right way, his way. The hymn writer says, thy way, not mine. Dear Saviour, still lead on. Nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. We do our best but taste the cup, but thou alone hast drunk it up. The Lord calls his dear people, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Thou art our Father, says Jeremiah. We're the clay. Thou art potter. We're all the work of thy hand. There's no sweeter path. And to be brought into submission, in obedience, in our lives, to the will of God, and to seek those things which are above. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All other things shall be added unto you. Blessed mercy then, if these commandments of the apostle are known in our hearts, because if we're not risen with him, and he has not raised us out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, and is teaching us, we shall not have any desire. We may have an outward profession. They come into the house of God. Where is our heart? God sees the heart. He knows his own workmanship. And how solemn to be left to wander in forbidden paths. If he then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now what are these blessed things that are above, where God sitteth at the right hand? Jesus Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. They are these, you know. Pardon. Peace. His intercession for us in the courts of heaven above. Knowledge of his mercy. Have that sweet sealing of the Spirit in our hearts. To know that he has loved us with an everlasting love. To hear his voice, that we're his. To come into the language of the writer of the Song of Solomon and be able to say, my beloved is mine and I am his. And many of you are there here tonight who are waiting. Know what you want. Know that you want the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. Know that you want, as I spoke this morning, that blood of sprinkling upon your heart, who are at the mercy seat, seeking that the Lord would hear and answer your prayer and grant you tokens and evidences and a hope in himself. All these things which are above. Why? The very substance of it is this. Eternal life. To be with him. Hereafter. To know him here. And to be with him hereafter. To know his love and mercy in this world. To know those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, and to enter into the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Oh, here, as we see this truth, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on behalf of his dear people. He is interceding on their behalf with his precious blood, which speaks in heaven's high court above. And here he works for their good. Oh, to know it in our souls. To come to his mercy seat. To plead that name which is above every name. And to have sweet answers to our prayers. We read of those in his holy word and their prayers. So simple, Jesus. Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, has that been your prayer? Do you look to him in heaven who intercedes on behalf of his dear people? And have you sweet answers? Has he appeared on your behalf? He gives tokens. He gives crumbs of mercy. He comes into the paths and lives of his dear people. And they know. They can say with one, we know that he heareth us. Because he grants us those things that we ask of him. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. How will you seek? I tell you this, only with his strength. You read in the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord creates in the hearts of his dear children, and mourning over sin and after him. And they seek him earnestly. Perhaps there are those of you who are seeking him earnestly. How does he make you seek him earnestly? Why, by keeping you waiting. And that induces in the hearts of his dear children cries, earnest petitions, wrestlings with him. An acid test it is of prayer. Whether like Jacob, a penial, we're brought to that place, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. Whether or not there is a pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No, it is his strength that enables us to seek. It is his wisdom that shows us the way. It is he that leads his people to himself and calls them effectually and brings them to their knees. As we said this morning of the Apostle Paul, behold, he prayeth. There was mourning, deep mourning. There was confession. There was godly sorrow, repentance. The Lord had brought him to that place. Seek. He was a seeker. Are you a seeker? Look back and ask yourself this question. When did I become a seeker? How did I become a seeker? What made me a seeker? What was it that changed my life? What was it that turned me from this world to seek those things which are above? How did it happen? When did it happen? Where did it happen? There is no going back. None whatsoever. When the Lord calls, that change is irreversible. Oh, poor fallen nature, and Satan would work to destroy it. Why, how Satan desired to have Peter to destroy him like Judas, but the Lord prayed for him. The Lord would leave him to learn his own weakness, but he was still among these that are spoken of here, if ye then be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. The Lord allowed him to go into deep waters, dreadful waters, that he might seek him more earnestly and value him so much, his precious blood, that would cleanse his heart from the foulest sins and the darkest, darkest, hideous crime, to deny his Lord with oaths and curses. And yet, seek those things which are above. And one of those things is repentance. Oh, godly sorrow. Divine mercy to be known and experienced in the heart. And to have a sweet understanding of what the Lord said to Peter, I've prayed for thee. One who will and has promised never to let his dear church go. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a precious promise that is. When we come to seek those things which are above, it is the everlasting loving kindness of our God to ever surround us, as his word says, to be a wall of fire round about us, and a glory in the midst, to surround his dear people with his divine protection, to keep them from those fiery darts of the wicked one, and to grant them that grace, the glory in the midst, in their hearts. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affections. I wonder this evening where there are affections, where your heart is. Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. I say to you tonight, where is your heart? Where are your affections? When did you get those affections? How were they given to you? Oh, you know how deeply mysterious is the work of grace. Spoken of by Christ to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth. But what a mighty power there lies in it. Yes, thou canst not tell the sound thereof, neither whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. A mighty work of grace risen with Christ, and then affections are set on things above. And it is a mercy if we can trace a beginning. There was a day when our affections were centered on the things of this world. But the time came when the Lord, by his mysterious purposes, turned our feet to Zion's ways, separated us from this world, and our affections were set on things above. They were set on Christ, to know him as our God, our Saviour, to be brought into sweet union and communion with him. Why, blessed grace and wisdom had been given in that moment. There was a leading forth by that right way. And there was a love to him. There are simple verses in Scripture regarding the love of Christ and the affections of his dear church for him. We may not fully understand, and yet some of these simple truths, the verse on my mind this evening, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Has grace been given you? You may feel that you are ignorant, cannot speak of the love of Christ. You have yet far to go, but you love the brethren. Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress speaks of Pilgrim as he left the city of destruction and journeyed onward to the cross of Calvary to lose his load. He hadn't got to Calvary, but he couldn't listen to Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He knew that was wrong. And he was drawn to evangelist. There was a beginning. And I believe it is with many of God's dear children. Set your affections. Their affections initially are set on the people of God. They feel a love and a union to them. They feel a love and a union to his servants. The ministry touches their hearts. Their affections are set on things above. And the Lord will teach them and lead them on. Oh, into a deeper knowledge of themselves and their fallen nature. But you see, when we come to this precious word, set your affections, why the Lord will so move in the hearts and souls of his dear people, for their good and benefit, hear and answer their prayers, draw them near to himself. But when he touches their hearts with his precious blood, and they know that peace which comes with it, and the pardon, the removal of the guilt of all their sins, oh, how their hearts will burn in love and affection towards Christ. And they will know the sweet joy in their hearts and the peace. And there will be mingled with their joy sacred tears. They will weep to the praise of the mercy they've found. And they will know the love of Christ, the love of God, which passeth all understanding. These are foretastes of heaven for his dear church here on earth. And there are notes of praise in their hearts. They know those eternal and everlasting arms of love and mercy about them and feel them underneath them. And they hear the voice of their God. Oh, have any of you felt the love of Christ in your heart and known sweet touches of it? Remember as a student, brought into great trouble, soul trouble, I came home one night to my hall of residence, all alone, and I bowed beside my bed, and that was so precious to me, yea, I have loved thee, with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I remember that night, weeping myself to sleep. If ever I said it that night, why me? I had such a sight of my worthlessness, but such a sweet sight, and such a sweet entrance in to the love of Christ. And I do put this before you, pressed toward the mark. Set your affections on things above. You can't go wrong in that way. You cannot. All other ways lead to death and darkness. But to be brought to know him, to be brought to feel his everlasting arms of love and mercy about you, and to be brought to be led forth by him in that right way, there is only one way to glory. It is this way. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. Dead to the things of this world. Dead to its ambitions and its pride. Dead to your own solemn independence. Oh, buried with Christ in baptism. This is the truth that lies here and raised with him to newness of life. We read in the previous chapter, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? No, God's dear people are free. They're dead to the rudiments of this world, and they're separated unto himself. They're brought to follow him. Oh, have you been? Blessed mercy. If the Lord is calling you to himself and will bring you to your knees at his mercy seat and will touch your heart with his love and blood and grant to you what flows from that sweet touch, and that is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I do say to you, press toward the mark, set your affections on things above, seek earnestly the best gifts, seek to know that you are his, seek to know that your sins are borne by him in his body on the tree. Seek to know that he died for you. Oh, I say to you, seek ye the Lord. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And there's that chapter in Isaiah goes on, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh, to be turned to him, and to be kept from our own selves. It is a work of divine grace. Then there are solemn pitfalls in the way. There's much that appears to be right, but it proves to be wrong. The acid test of God's dear children is this: he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Oh, life's pathway is before so many of you. Hymn writer says, with Christ in the boat, I smile at the storm. There will be many storms in life's pathway. They have been in mine. But I can tell you here tonight, and I say before him, my God, who knows my heart and knows my pathway, he has been my strength. He has never left me nor forsaken me. I have proved when most I need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Your dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when those eternal and everlasting arms are underneath us, what a blessed mercy it will be to walk with him here below, to have fellowship with him in his sufferings, in the paths he ordains that we should walk in, and one day to be gathered into this blessed pathway you hid. Your life is hid with Christ in God, to be found in that eternal city, and there to praise him in the anthem of his dear saints, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Are you? Is that if removed? Can you truly say, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him? It was a very high pathway that the apostle came to at the end of his days. But he came to that place where he could say, I'm now ready to depart. He had a good hope through grace. His God was with him. He had walked with him in this life. And now he was going to be with him forever. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Broom, and Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach on Wednesday evening instead of Mr. Joe Rutt. And Mr. Hope is, God willing, expected to preach next Lord's Day, and their friends at Penn Stanton hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening. Hymn number 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.